Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm posting it, but it's cool.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the Whoa podcast. I'm Clay. I'm here with Cave and Chris. Logan's not with us right now, but he may join later. He's not messaging me back, so maybe not. But we're also here with the fabulous Jacob Fisher. What's going on, Jacob?
The one and only. Hello, everybody. I make videos where I look at the camera and sometimes make pornography.
That's so
very nice. Very
awesome.
Nice.
I was checking out your NSFW account, not for like pleasure, but for business. That sounds weird to say. I feel weird saying it, but like it's almost like also funny on top of just like really. It's just really cool because it seems like there's a comedic aspect to it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So I've like also like I kind of like built my platform of like comedy. Like the first like big like followers that I had who had a big following as well were sex workers, and so they were just always lobbing me retweets, and so the sex worker community like kind of always like hyped me up, and so always backed them. And as I kept on building that platform, I just constantly was interacting with sex workers, so ended up actually becoming homeless while I lived in Texas, and a sex worker, my girlfriend, hits me up, sends me $5 and was like, what's up? I was like, nothing, you want me to come out there and stay with us? So yeah, I'll fly you out. I was like, we live with you, actually. I'm a little homeless. And she was like, all right, for sure. And so then I came out here and we started dating, and, you know, dating a sex worker, I just kind of ended up gravitating towards sex work because I was doing like these like personal like comedy videos for people and shit. Yeah. But then I figured out like, oh, I can sell pictures of my pee-pee. I'm going to do that. And so I was kind of making a living, like, just, like, selling just, like, one picture. And then my girlfriend was like, you know, you can just do sex work with me. And I was like, yeah, all right. And then kind of just combine the two and kind of how it goes now. You still get to be me and show my wang at the same time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had a viral tweet go off a while ago where I think the tweet was it was a Twitter comedian BF, sex worker GF, internet power couple. And so many people tagged you underneath that. Yeah.
Holy shit, that was your tweet. Oh my God. Dude, I had no idea that was your tweet. That's so funny. I was about to say, like, fuck, I had so many people DMing me about that fucking tweet and everybody was tagging me. I was like, oh, this is my fucking avenue right here. Holy shit, this is my block.
Yeah, I was like super pumped when you commented on something that Chris posted about being on the podcast. I was like, oh, I know you from being tagged under this tweet like 100 times.
It's funny too, because like I'd seen the Who Up podcast like pop up on my time like a million times. So I was like, and because like I have a couple of followers who like listen to you guys already, because we all have mutuals and whatnot. And yeah. So I was like, oh, for sure. I was just kind of fucking around, like kind of like, oh, let me hop on the podcast with you guys, thinking that you guys now. But then he was like, nah, dude, we'd love to have you on. I was like, oh, holy shit, let's go.
Hell yeah. That's how our last guest got on too.
Yeah. I think they cut out.
Oh no. Did we lose Jacob for a sec?
Oh, yeah, there okay, we go. No, I'm back.
Ah, sweet.
All there right. We go.
The reason me and them are mutuals, the funniest thing, Mike Headley was being an incel in a group chat, and I blocked him out of it. And he was like, who did it? And I was like, me. And he just followed me.
That fucking rocks.
Like, that was the reason. It was because Mike Headley is a fucking incel bitch.
Dude, fuck that guy. It's so funny. I had no idea who he was. And then we were in the same group chat. And then once he got blocked out of it, I was like, yo, who is the fucking guardian here? Yo, it's me. I was like, I bet. Like, that's the homie. And then it was funny, I was actually it was like a couple of weeks, if not like maybe like a couple months later or something like that. I was actually in Portland because I helped my friend Taylor move up there. And they moved in with my friend Duck, and the entire time we're in the car driving around one time. They're like, hey, do you know who Mike Headley is? I was like, that name sounds really familiar. Hold on. Give me 1 second. I actually had to like go and find like our group chat. I was like, yo, yeah, he's in this fucking group chat with me, being an incel. And I like told the whole story. And then I asked him, I was like, why are we bringing him back up? And it's just, oh, he's being an incel on timeline right now, and he's retweeting child porn. I was like, oh, fuck.
He was retweeting child porn?
Shit. Was that whole thing? Was that whole thing about people like retweeting this like underage girl and being like, yo, this is bad that she's doing this, while also like having thousands of followers and like spreading it? God, that was so fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah, that was what, yeah, all the accounts with 10K plus were like, let's promote this child and berate this child that's clearly going through something. Like, oh, that was fucking disgusting. People just weren't thinking.
Fucking nutty. Yeah, we, like, me, Duck, and Taylor, we were all in the car, like, sitting there, like, we're like, how do we break this down to people? Like, all you have to do, if you see this count, you know they're underage, don't say anything. Just maybe, like, tell a couple of girlfriends, like, hey, can you help me report this? And just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. That's, like, all you're doing is, like, the algorithm feeds into that. It's easy commenting, quote tweeting, and so it's just going to get pushed to the top of the timeline. And I'm like, all right, so y'all are just engaging in child porn.
Yeah, literally.
And here's the thing. You can't help the fact that you have, like, 10 weird followers that could possibly be into this type of shit.
Right.
And, like, it's nothing to do. It's not your fault that they follow you and just think you're funny. But then they see it and like it. And it's a cycle.
Mm-hmm. And just what's scary about it, too, is that, like, we had to, like, remind these girls who were, like, retweeting it. We're like, hey, and, like, and I had to, like, talk to them, too. I was like, hey, like, the majority of all of our following are perverts.
Yeah.
Like, not saying that, you know, I'm not going to use pervert as a derogatory term because, you know, we're all perverts at the end of the day. But, no, like, we have, like, perverts following us. And these are the kind of guys they're going to save all the shit that she's posting before it all gets taken down. So, no, definitely don't retweet it to a bunch of horny men.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Is that Duck, like, Duck fan account, Duck? And then, like, is that, I'm assuming it's Taylor Allard then, right?
Okay.
That's awesome.
That yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Taylor was, like, me and Taylor were super good friends. We actually got introduced when I was, like, kind of starting to blow up through this other girl that lived with Taylor and Duck, this girl named Lav Lit or Lav Tunes or whatever. She's this, like, musician on TikTok who is just, she's terrible. She's racist. And I got her canceled because she said, before I got into, like, really started doing, like, a lot of comedy, a big part of my platform was just doing social activism for Muslims, Middle Eastern people, people in Palestine, shit like that. And all I did was post a tweet saying, free Palestine. And she's like, this not it.
No way. That's insane. Oh, dude.
Then I got introduced to Chuck and Taylor's, like, one of the first people I met when I moved out here to California.
Nice. So you're in California now? Not to dox you or anything.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So I was born in Texas and then, like, moved to Colorado, moved to Reno, Nevada, and then moved back to Texas after my parents tricked me back into moving down there. And I was living down there, did the whole girlfriend, got a job bullshit, and then realized that that was all bullshit. Stop doing that. And I was supposed to move up to Portland with another friend. She was a tattoo artist, but then she broke her hand. And so, you know, your hand's broken, you can't tattoo.
Yeah.
So she had to bail, and then my lease was up, so I was homeless. And then, you know, the whole story with my girlfriend, she said, yeah, just come out here. And so I came out here because I had a bunch of connections. This was, like, right as I blew up, like, on Twitter. And was kind of starting to blow up on TikTok, but hadn't really, like, found my lane in that yet.
Yeah.
And came out here and just kind of just immediately started networking, meeting everyone, and was like, all right, yeah, I think I'm going to stick out here. And then I think I might have brought, you know, the coronavirus with me.
Oh, no.
I got to experience California for, like, maybe 4 months, and then they're like, yeah, we're shutting this shit down.
Yeah. Damn, that sucks. But at least you got that 4 months for a bit to network and experience everything. And hopefully it's, God, I don't.
Yeah.
God, I wish. I hope it's done soon, man. God.
Hey, I'll say this.
Man, I'm
I'll say this much about the coronavirus. If you want it to be done, it's done. I'm going out. I'm doing whatever the fuck I want, man.
Oh my God.
COVID has been done all year for me. It never happened.
That's because you only go to the liquor store.
That's true. Nah, I'm Cave and I do stand up, but we've had to take a back seat to that because of the coronavirus and everything. So, oh, Chris also does stand up, but we're in different states. So.
Yeah.
Cities. No, I definitely, when I first moved out here, that was actually like one of the first things that I was like trying to get into. I had like a couple of connects over, like I had a connection over at the Laugh Factory. And a couple other people who were like willing to put me on for some stand-up shit, and I was like, all right, for sure. And then at that point, it was kind of like I made like the weird transition from like comedy guy, you know, Twitter comedian bullshit to being hot guy somehow. I guess posting your penis does that. And so I went to doing the hot guy shit, and so I was so then I like was in talks with a couple like modeling agencies, and like as I was like sat down with like my first interview, the first thing the casting agent says to me, "Did you hear Los Angeles just went on lockdown for the coronavirus?" I was like, "Oh, so this is real. We're fucked. I'm fucked."
Yeah.
And so all that shit fell through, and now I'm just finally getting back to being like, "Oh, you know, maybe I should do funny shit again."
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You know, I have a question. You said you made the transition from like, you know, like kind of funny guy to hot guy, like posting your penis. And I just think I want to know kind of how you did that, because for the past like 3 years, I've been posting my penis relentlessly in like text messages and DMs. And I just became known as like creepy guy. I'm not hot guy.
Well, I mean, it depends. How much did you pay Jack? Because I hit up his DM. I was like, yo, how do I become Twitter hot guy? And he said $5. And so I sent him $6.
Maybe I should try using words, because I just sent Jack like 10 pictures of my penis.
Oh, no, you didn't send enough.
Hold on, that's okay.
Come on,
you're saying that Jack, Twitter CEO, needs more of my penis so I can be hot.
Yes, absolutely.
I do.
Okay. You know what we need to do?
Yeah.
Listen, hear me out.
It's the bare minimum.
New thing. We just send billionaires unsolicited dick pics.
Yeah, is that technically
I've been doing that.
Hear me out. Like, can I, you know,
how do you
like,
think we've been fighting capitalism?
Yeah. I've been selling photos of my just straight up dick on Amazon so that Bezos sees it.
Yeah, he looks through everything.
Yeah, he goes through every single thing on Amazon.
I see Bezos and Zuckerberg.
I'll tell you what. If you get me in a room with Zuckerberg, Bezos, Bill Gates, they're all going to see my penis.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay.
And I'm back.
I do love the idea of just a bunch of people assuming that to become a hot guy, you have to just send a lot of dick pics to Jack on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's
how OnlyFans works, right?
I'd love for his DMs to be just flooded with pictures of phallic images. That'd just be funny to me.
I'm sure they are, though.
I think. Why
isn't this how we tear down the system?
Yeah.
We just start bombarding all the politicians with just pictures of wangs. Not even our own. You could just, you know, call up the homie and be like, hey, can you send me a dick pic real quick? I got to shoot it over to Zuckerberg.
Yes.
If we get to send the politicians dick pics, I got dibs on AOC. I call first dibs. You all heard it here. No, I ain't called dick pics sending to AOC.
She's one of the good ones, though. You can't send them to AOC.
I don't care. I just want to send her my dick.
No, we're not sending any dick pics to Green New Deal people.
Yeah, we got to. Yeah, only
people. I don't know if you can to AOC, because aren't her and Shapiro like in a relationship? I see him tweeting about her all the time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he does. God. Wouldn't that just be one of the most cursed yet blessed things to ever happen? Is AOC and Ben Shapiro having a baby and being married and cute?
Like, it would be bad for the world.
On her feet.
I'll say this. For the world, but good for me. Everything that's bad for the world is so good for me because, like, I'll just make a joke
about it. Is that how libertarians are made?
Yes, actually, with the mom, Shapiro,
with the dad.
Yeah.
That's my origin story. I'll say this. If Shapiro and AOC got together, I would saw that man's little pecker off, okay? And then AOC would be sweet to me and kiss me big and hard.
I don't know if you need a saw. I think you could just get some, like, eyebrow tweezers and just...
You could just flick just it pull it out. Like a hair.
Yeah.
Pull it out like a fucking ingrown hair.
Ben Shapiro has a little clitoris penis.
Have fun coming.
I wonder what the root of your penis looks like.
Whose penis?
Ben Shapiro's dick?
Are we talking? Wait, we're talking about Ben Shapiro's dick. What? I feel like it'd be like a little clitoris. But like it's a penis.
Do you think him and his sister lip kiss?
No.
For sure.
I think they used to. I don't know if they do anymore. Well, it depends. Is that Jewish custom? This is not anti-Semitic. This is just a question.
It's just anti-Semitic. Is this Jewish custom?
I love that the right doesn't know the difference between anti-Zionist and anti-Semitic. Because anytime anybody says anything against Israel, it's just like, oh, you hate Jewish people. It's like, no. Hold on a second.
I think a lot of the woke scolding left doesn't know that either.
True.
Well, dude, you can literally say, I don't think little brown kids should be shot. And they'll be like, oh, you sound a little anti-Semitic.
Yeah. I was on TikTok today.
Oh.
Look, let me show you how painless this missile is. Then you might change your mind, okay?
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, for real. Dude, I was on TikTok today, and apparently there's, like, a lot of people posting about being Pakistani or Indian and, like, kind of what they're going through. And I had no idea that this was a thing until, like, today.
Wait, what is it?
I have no idea. It's,
it's a bunch of, like, you're talking about the border skirmishes, right?
Is that what that is?
Like the audio, like, I will die for Pakistan.
Yeah, like I've seen a lot of that. And it's really funny, but I have no idea what's going on.
So it's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a certain, if I'm not mistaken, it's a certain region that they've had just border conflicts on for forever. Because when they drew up the borders right there, they were all kind of fucked up and they kind of went back and forth, apparently. Mm-hmm. And so... I listened to a podcast on this like a year ago, so this is kind of off the top of the head. Very bad memory.
Oh, no. You're lagging a little bit, Jacob. I don't know if you can hear me, but I want you to know that.
Here's the thing. On the Indian side, you have people wanting to be on the Pakistan side.
Yeah. Wait, could you say that one more time? You lagged a little bit in the middle of it. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. So it's a bunch of people, and so you have, like, you know, some people who feel like they belong more to the country of Pakistan, people who feel like they belong more so to the country of India, and so then you have this huge cultural war that's going on apparently at the same time. Gotcha. And like I said, don't quote me on this. This is going off like a year-long memory when I listened to a podcast on it, and it was escalating back then. It was getting to the point where, you know, there were fist fights because they have this rule over there where if, say, one side attacks, the other side can only attack in kind. So if one side comes over with just, like, bats and batons and, like, fists and shit, they're only allowed to fight back with, you know, fucking duke it out.
They're just fisticuffs over there. That's that's crazy.
That's how basically, there's going to be war.
I agree.
But they're fucking crazy. Like, I remember there was a thing maybe a couple months ago where there was an escalation in tension because one side went over and they beat to death like 9 guys. They're like, yeah, let's beat them up.
That's insane. That's crazy.
And then the other side, they like got like spears or like big ass sticks and started just whooping the fuck out of each other.
Jesus.
The shitty thing is it doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter what side they're on, because America's still going to put a gun to their head and make them work at a Verizon call center.
Literally.
That's actually true.
That's
unfortunately.
Legitimately what will happen, yeah. But anyway, I think fighting is good. Fist fighting? I think fist fighting is good for people.
Yeah. If we had no guns, people would just fight like that, and that'd be the best.
No, hear me out. People, I think, are going to have physical disagreements no matter what. Even if I think you get rid of toxic masculinity, I think people are going to have altercations.
Yeah.
And some people, I think, really need just their ass beat sometimes. Like, there are people that...
Yeah.
There are people that they're not going to learn a lesson until they're bloody. Genuinely.
Did you guys see the video? Did you guys see that video of the guy getting hit in the head with a skateboard because he said the N-word? Some guy's like, I'll hit you in the head with a skateboard if you say the N-word. And this guy's like, fine. And then he said the N-word, and this dude just hit him in the face with a skateboard. And he just, like, ate shit and then, like, still had his cigarette in his mouth. But, like, it was in Minneapolis at the CC Club, and I thought it was crazy. But, yeah.
Yeah, I know. My head is still pounding.
God.
That's so...
Skaters will find any... We will find any reason to use our deck as a weapon. The first time I did it, I think I was like 13, and I was very excited at the chance. I was like, yeah! It's my coming of age.
Oh, you skateboard?
Oh, you've hit somebody with a skateboard before? That's a funny story for me.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of how I got my start, like, on the internet. I was the little, like, forums kid and kind of got into skateboarding because I, like, grew up, like, BMXing. But then I was like, oh, this shit looks a lot cooler. And so I kind of got into, like, photography and videography that way through skateboarding. But, yeah, the story about the first time I hit a guy with my skateboard, I was, like, 13 or 14, and I was living in Colorado Springs. And there was not to be abelist or anything, but there was a crackhead, you know, somebody who used, you know, somebody who was very obviously on amphetamine or crack or something like that.
Just
freaking out at the skate park. And mind you, I'm a little 13, 14 year old filmer kid, so I've got my camera, all my shit in my backpack. And, you know, this guy was fucking with a bunch of kids, and so we were fucking with him back. I was kind of staying back. I was like, I don't really want anything to do with this. I'm gonna smoke my cigarette. And I was behind the guy at one point, and somebody, like, slapped the back of his head or something like that, and he turned around and just zeroed in on me, and he's like, you fucking did it. I was like, no, I didn't. And so he came over to me trying to, like, grab me, pick me up, and I'm a tiny little, like, I was like maybe like 5'7", weighed 90 pounds, something like that. I was a little guy, and so the first thing I did was go, boop.
Hell yeah.
He didn't call it a boop. He called it a deadly assault.
He's like, oh no, you hit me in the head, and that's why I'm addicted to crack.
Yes. I single-handedly got him addicted to crack cocaine.
What was a skateboard boop?
Yep.
Yeah,
that honestly owns I feel like the power that comes with that has to feel so good. Just like giving someone like a well-deserved, not like out of nowhere, but like you're asking for it.
Well-deserved.
It's gotta feel kind of good.
Yeah. Oh, it does.
Oh, hell.
I mean, the best part too is, like, you know, he was barely fazed by it. And so all the older guys, you know, because all the older guys will protect the little guys at the skate park. They came up and they grabbed him and picked him up and they threw him in the bowl, which was like about it. It was like an 8-foot drop and he plopped.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He climbed out, still trying to fight.
Damn, that's well. If he was anything, on crack, to be honest, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't fight people on drugs.
Yeah, like, those people are modern day superheroes.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay. You know, I've grown up around a lot of heroin addicts. Like, it's a big issue in Columbus. So I've seen what heroin addicts can do. With, like, it's pretty cool. Like, honestly, like, they're warriors. I'm not even being a dick. Like, they...
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I've known a bunch of people who are hooked on heroin and shit, and those people, like, I mean, just the way, the fact that like they, those are the type of people who can survive through anything. You put them in any situation, they'll fucking make it through.
They're the cockroaches of people. Like, not in a bad way, but that, like,
yeah, not even in a bad way. They just, they could fucking survive a nuke for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they survive winter in Columbus outside.
Like, if I had to, like, if I had to pick my intoxicated parent behind the wheel, I'm going heroin over alcohol.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be much more comfortable in a flying car than one upside down in the lake.
Well, you see, I mean, I'd much rather somebody on heroin try to drive than somebody on alcohol, because they might fall asleep at the wheel before they even get it started. So
much
better of a chance making it through that drive.
My dad used to drive with me in the car while he was drunk all the time. He had a stick shift too, and I remember he'd fuck it up because he was just drunk. And he'd be like, "Oh, this stupid clutch or whatever." Like, he'd like blame it on some other shit in the car, and I'd just be like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." But as a 22-year-old, I'm like, "This man was fucking tanked."
It's like, you grow up and you're like, "You were in third gear for 10 minutes. It wasn't the clutch."
Yeah, no, exactly.
Wait, did you guys have those the drive-through liquor stores or beer stores?
Yep.
No, I wish. Oh,
we didn't.
God.
You guys don't have drive.
No, we live in Minnesota, so in Minnesota, their liquor laws are super duper tight. We used to have them. I worked at a liquor store that used to have one, but then they shut it down probably mid-80s, early 90s, I think, is when that came through.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because your story just reminds me of my childhood, me and my dad going through those drive-thrus, and you get a beer and as the dude's handed to me, pop.
Yeah, my dad, I visited him for spring break my freshman year of college, and I went down to Florida because he'd moved to Florida, and while I was down there, we went to the liquor store, and in his car in the parking lot, he cracked open the pint of vodka, took a shot, closed it, goes, "Don't worry about it. It's legal here to drink in your car." And then we went home.
Okay, now I'm back, I think. All
right. Yeah, you're back.
Perfect, yeah. No, I was going to say, it reminds me, my parents... I'm sure there were like instances where they were probably buzzed up driving, but my mom had an issue when we were growing up of just genuinely falling asleep driving at night.
Oh no.
And I have one very distinct memory of her just falling asleep behind the wheel, and our vehicle was like half in the ditch, and my dad like grabbed the wheel and like swerved us out. But like, yeah, we would have been done right there. I mean, we were going like 60 miles an hour.
Wow.
But yeah, she just used to get so tired.
I get that though. I fall asleep at the wheel sometimes. Like I was driving, I was driving to St. Cloud, which is about an hour drive north from where I live. I was driving up to college to do a radio show because I did radio in college, and I was listening to Kendrick Lamar's "To Pimp a Butterfly," and for some reason that album has like just this really calm but chaotic vocal. Like interlude somewhere. I don't remember what song it is, but there's a lot of sax and stuff, and I just remember like falling a little bit asleep and then jerking awake as I like jerked my wheel away from like the ditch. It was insane. I was like, oh, because it was so early.
How much a dollar cost? Is that the one that's got sax, I think, or horns?
Yeah.
That's a soothing one. No, falling asleep at the wheel runs pretty rampant in my family. I have a family member that did fall asleep and like actually crashed his vehicle and like wasn't wearing a seatbelt either and like hit the windshield and shit. And like I've fallen asleep behind the wheel. Luckily I haven't like gone off the road, but it's definitely a problem.
I'm running to the bathroom.
Yeah, that falling asleep behind the wheel shit is terrifying. I used to work 12-hour days and a lot of it was driving, and there would be so many times where it's the same thing. I feel that little jerk. I'm like, oh, I'm back. I'm here.
The worst is working overnights for me. That's what just like put me in, because I always have such a hard time sleeping generally, so trying to work on that schedule, getting off at like 6-7 in the morning and like you'd just be so shocked because there would be times where I wouldn't sleep at all, and then I'd go to work at 9 p.m. that night, and so you'd be driving on no sleep at 6 in the morning. And I was living in California at the time. I was driving from like Commerce, California to somewhere in Los Angeles, but fucking I'd be like dozing off in bumper to bumper traffic. So many fucking close calls in there. It was not good.
Fuck, dude. I remember there was one time, I think the worst call was I had just, so I worked for a crane company, and so it was a crane dealership. So we would go and drop trucks off. And there was one time where we made like, I think it was like a 3-hour drive to go drop it off. And so it was a 3-hour drive back. And we were like less than 5 minutes away. Like we had 2 stoplights. And we were sitting at the 2 stoplights away. And I just completely just, with my friend Robert in the passenger seat, all I remember is him just like waking me up because like we're at a red light and we just started drifting over towards the left over like down. It was like a big old hill that goes down into a highway. And so we were that close to just making it to that hill and we would have just been done for.
Fuck.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's tough. Now if I really feel it coming on super hard, I'll like, there's been times where now I've like pulled over and just like, I'll either sit for a while till I can like get my senses about me, or I might just pass out for like an hour. But
see, now that I'm older and wiser, I figured out the trick was to never leave my fucking house.
Yeah.
Just, you'll fall asleep if you just stay inside.
Yeah, my dad got in an accident because of that kind of thing. He used to tour in his band when he was like probably 22, I think, around my age or so, maybe a little bit younger. And they got in a car accident where the car rolled. One of the guys in his band died. The other one like totally fine with him. And then like it fucked up my dad's back real bad and like literally like shattered one of his guitars into like pieces. And the only reason I know this is because he still has that guitar all, like, glued together. And you can't play it or anything, but he just, like, has it on his wall. Because he's just like, I got in a car accident with this guitar. It was my favorite guitar ever. Like, and he tells me the story all the time. But it's, like, the craziest thing. Because all of them fell asleep. And, like, they were packed in. And the only reason him and his buddy survived were because they both were packed in between so much fucking gear. That, like, there was no way they could move or go anywhere.
Damn.
They had their little suit. Man, I imagine your dad is just a really stubborn guy just sitting there a couple weeks after the accident. Just, God damn, guitar, gluing that shit back together piece by piece like a fucking puzzle.
He is a stubborn motherfucker. I love him to death, but also kind of resent him.
I mean, what else are you supposed to do with your dad?
Right.
Love him and resent him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were any other options.
It was funny, I was on the phone with my dad. My dad and I are like, it feels like we're polar opposites of the political scale. He seems very like right-wing, just like Republican, whatever. And I'm very, you know, leftist, chilling, you know, whatever. But I was talking to him on the phone the other day, and he goes, I'm so sick of these billionaires, dude. And I was just like, me too. And then he's like, but they did earn their money. And I'm like, that's where we're different, man.
You see, that's where we differ.
So close, but so far.
I'm the same way. I mean, I'm from Texas, so my dad is a Texas man, through and through, Southern Republican. So, and he's absolutely fucking gun-obsessed. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm gun-obsessed too. I believe that leftists should arm themselves. But yeah, well, it's funny. We'll talk and we'll agree. I'll be like, yeah, no, we got to start getting a whole bunch of guns on our side. He'll be like, yeah, fuck yeah, you guys. Nah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the
like,
shit.
Oh, you're so close.
You saw the kid that got shot by the police. Like, they're like right-wing people are putting videos of him with like guns and shit. From Instagram stories online, and it's just like they're like, "This is what did you think was gonna happen?" It's like you literally post pictures with guns constantly. Like all you do is just you with a shotgun and a deer, and it's like, yeah, what difference? Like you're just seeing urban gun ownership. That's all you're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, that's the only time the NRA starts piping up about, like, oh, you know what? Maybe guns are bad. Is any time that there's any, like, any time leftists start to arm themselves or any people of color start to arm themselves, because that was a big reason for gun control in the 60s or 70s, I think, is what it was. Because, Black Panthers were like, let's get some guns. And the government was like, well, you know, it's a good thing it's called an amendment. Because we're going to amend that real quick.
Yeah. Especially in California. California was like, yeah, actually, no guns ever, actually, here in California, actually. No, because the Black Panthers were, like, marching down in L.A.
Yeah.
With guns. And they were like, actually, I think that maybe we don't have any guns in California anymore. What if we didn't do it anymore? What if we didn't have guns?
Who is the
community? Don't want to do that. They don't want the people that actually want change to have guns. They want the complicit people to have guns, you know?
Oh, yeah. The militias that are worried about, like, white people dying out.
Yeah. Who's the comedian who was, like, he had a whole bit about white people learned how to register their guns, black people learned how to moisturize their skin, and that's the trade-off that we have. Who? It was a black comedian. I don't remember who it was, but it was such a good bit. I saw it on Comedy Central when I was like 13.
Chris Rock.
No, that's not a Chris Rock bit. Chris Rock.
It's not.
No, and I know. I just know Chris Rock's gun control bit by heart. I'm trying to think.
Donald Glover.
No, that's either Eddie Griffith or Cat Williams. It has to be one of the two, especially if it was on Comedy Central when you were younger.
Actually, it sounds a little bit familiar. Now that you said Cat Williams, that does sound a little bit familiar.
It might be a Cat Williams bit. It also might be Eddie Griffith. That actually might, because I don't think I've heard it like almost ever again. So I'll look into it. But yeah, no, that bit was so maybe funny.
Cat Williams is a better joke writer than people give him credit for. Like, look at the insurgent bit. That bit is incredible.
That bit is so
good.
He's
like, I don't know any insurgent. Where he's like, they'll call, like, people that they're killing overseas and on the news insurgents. He's like, people be like, I don't even know one insurgent in my life. Like, I've never met an insurgent. So, yeah. Like, I'm not that worried about it.
But if they start saying, because isn't an insurgent, like, anybody who's not, like, isn't that just another word for civilian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, we killed like three insurgents today. And he's like, he's like, I'll be home smoking. Like, I don't even know three insurgents. He's like, I couldn't name one insurgent.
Yeah. Insurgent, I think, is just probably like one of those like dehumanization tactics that they use to like, you know, give them, oh, it's an insurgent, not a person, you know, who lives in poverty and has this crazy fucking government suddenly invading their land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George literally. Bush kind of rocked when it came to like humanizing or dehumanizing people overseas.
He did an amazing job on that. He's like, not on my watch. Not on my watch.
Anybody that's brown is the enemy. George W. Bush out. And then everybody's like, I can't believe he got his shoe thrown at him.
He actually personally developed that skin color card that Peter Griffin holds up.
Oh yeah, I have one of those.
Cave is I don't
sitting back.
Yeah, this man, he's one of those guys who he's got the bit in the back of his pocket where he's not on your side, but like he is.
I'm like a covert agent. I'm the guy that
doing
wants
a razzle dazzle.
I want everyone to arm themselves so then I can start the race war. And it's a fair fight.
Dude, I felt like a covert agent when I lived in Texas because there's just so many Southern people. They come up, they start talking. Oh man, immediately. Well, now how are you? Oh yeah, I'm all right. How are you? Throw a little bit of fucking draw. Man, that's a scary thing about white people in the South. If they see that you're white too, they just automatically assume that you're in on the club, and they come up, they're like, how about those fucking Mexicans? And I'm like, oh shit.
Yo.
What? We were just talking about food. I thought we were gonna go eat.
Our thing like that up here is like, I'll go back to my hometown and you'll like see somebody and you'll just be having a conversation talking about, oh yeah, it's been a while, we're catching up, and it's like, yeah, so we're getting a lot of those fucking Somalians in town.
Dude, yeah, Minnesota's got so like such a high Somali population that like the rural areas of Minnesota, not I guess central area, but they're all like worried about them for some fucking reason.
Oh no, they are moving out like more to rural areas. I mean, like this isn't like a problematic take. It's just like when I go home, it's like, I mean, I see like Somalian families, and it's like even when I graduated high school, we didn't have a single one there, you know. And I see like the kids, and you know, they'll be at the gas station or at restaurants and stuff. So.
Well, that's the only reason New York Euro exists, is because
of the Somali community. It's so funny that our podcast represents the first and second most high density of Somalian cities in the country. Columbus is number two for Somalians, and Minnesota is number Minneapolis is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have so many Somali people here. I think we're just like one of the few sanctuary cities like around us.
Well,
so we get a lot of.
We were in the north during the Civil War. That's why.
Yeah, they think that they're safe, but in reality, our states are racist. Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now: you are not safe here.
That's one of the craziest things. Like, once I found out that like there's a lot more people of color up north than I thought there was, I was like, oh, holy shit!
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought everybody just lived down south, but that, I mean, I'm just from the south, so I automatically assume everybody's down there partying with us.
Yeah, true.
It's definitely like, maybe, I don't know, are you like, maybe small towns in there like are down south or maybe more diverse? I don't know. Because small towns here, I mean, predominantly white. I mean, you're going to have a hard time finding, you know.
Yeah, it really depends on like the suburbs that you go to, because there's a lot of rural areas in like say like Fort Worth. Like a lot of the farming like and property owned out there are generally actually by people of Middle Eastern descent, Latinx descent, and Asian descent. Especially for like small towns. I'd say that's probably been over like the past like 15 years that you've seen like a really mass exodus towards those rural areas. Wow. But definitely if you go in towards, because I'm from Dallas, Fort Worth, mm-hmm. and that's just right there. Like that is like diverse, like Mecca. That was one of the most amazing things about living in Dallas, Fort Worth, is that like you had friends from everywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how Columbus was, because of the university. We have Ohio State University right there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like really, it's like extremely diverse. We have a shit ton of like kids whose parents were like first generation from Africa, a shit ton of Asian people, because there's a huge Honda plant that pretty much hires a shit ton of Asian people. So it's pretty diverse in Columbus. But outside of Columbus, it is not.
Minnesota's pretty diverse as well.
Very white.
I think Minnesota just claims to be super duper liberal and has like this, well, I mean claims, but they are. It's just like not as progressive as you'd like it to be. But I mean, I think they just kind of
Minneapolis, you know.
Yeah, it's very concentrated.
I think it's liberal in the sense of like an old Southern Democrat.
Mm-hmm. There's higher
Southern because them old Southern Democrats are not the corporate ones, but they're, or yeah, I guess they're corporate, but yeah, they're liberal, but they're still, just diet Republicans.
Yeah, it's like higher property tax and higher tax just in general, and then it's like, okay, cool, now we can like take care of some people who want to be here, and then it's still like racist as hell. That was like a weird. I had a professor in college who wrote a book about the like secret like slave ties that Minnesota had, where it kind of just goes into like how they fed into the industry of slavery. I haven't read the book. I'll be honest, but like I read the synopsis, and it seems pretty interesting. And he referenced his own books in class, even though they weren't assigned. And yeah, it was just like he basically was talking about how like Minnesota claims that they have no like racist history because they're a northern state and like, you know, they're so far north that they can't really like, oh, we couldn't have had a hand in any of that. We were a part of the Union. And then like they actually did have a huge hand in as far as like employing people who had slaves. It's kind of crazy.
Oh yeah, we had, even though I don't know if it was ever legal here, but we had slaves in Ohio for sure. There's like old mansions still with slave houses here, like.
Well, hell, if you head on down to the south, you can go to the plantation.
I've never
love their plantation weddings.
Yeah, I've never seen that shit. I'm north enough that I've never seen that shit.
Plantation. Like, specifically targeting like a plantation to get married at?
Or? Yeah, people do that, yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, they're now they're venues, right? So it's basically just a bunch of rich white people getting together so that way they can go out into the farmland and pretend married and do all of our shit, have a fundraiser out here. And
we lost you again.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Am I back?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It is kind of crazy how commercialized plantations have become now. Oh, did we lose you again?
No, that's. Lagging out.
Yeah.
There we go. I have full bars.
All right, there we go. But yeah, that is insane that people are just like, yeah, let's get married at this plantation venue. Like, well, I don't.
What, yeah, what a weird aesthetic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is, and it's the whole like Dixie thing too. So like. Fuck, and they'll like dress up all like everybody dresses up all old timey and shit. So it's like, man, y'all really are out here LARPing as slave owners.
That's crazy. Wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
Let me just offer a piece of advice. You can't get in trouble if you just do it in your room with the doors closed, okay?
I actually
what is this angle you're working on this episode?
I'm just
being dumb, man. I'm not like
he's continuing his angle from last episode that we did last night. Where...
He said,
you guys put me lib right. I'm hanging on to that.
So yeah, I have a question for you, Jacob.
What's up?
You have beautiful hair, and you don't have to disclose this information at all, but. What kind of products do you use?
So, actually, I use, it's funny, everyone thinks I use, like, super fancy shit, but I just use the volumizing, like, Aussie shampoo.
Okay.
But the real secret, and I learned this on accident by just being a piece of shit, only wash your hair once a week. Like, you can still, like, get it wet and whatnot, but... at max, maybe wash it twice a week. And when you do wash it, do like a deep condition and let that shit just sit in there and really like soak it up for a while.
Okay.
Like I'm talking like leave that conditioner in there for 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then your shit gets, oh my God, it gets so soft and it just comes out luscious as fuck. But yeah, no, I learned that with...
Oh, damn it, we lost you again.
Hello.
Oh no.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Chris. You're good. I think all of us are all right. I'm worried about Jacob.
There we go. Okay, oh, let's pick up back. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck just happened there.
Yeah, we lost you from. You were talking about where you learned that technique from.
Yeah, so I learned it just by being a piece of shit skate rat. You know, all I lived for was skateboarding, beer, cigarettes, and so I'd shower once a week, because, you know, I'd just be out skating all the time, or I'd be like out on tour and shit.
Yeah.
And because I used to have long hair when I was younger, and then I chopped it all off. I was like, I'll be a big kid now. And that was bullshit. But yeah, I dated this girl. She was a hairstylist, and she was like, oh yeah, she's like, actually, the reason why your hair looks so good is because you're a piece of shit. And I was like, and she's like, no, you don't shower, so it looks good. She's like, just shower more and keep doing what you're doing with your hair.
Nice. Hell yeah. All right. Oh, man.
That's incredible.
I had another question. Now I forgot it, though. I've had, like, 10 beers.
You've had 10 beers?
Yeah, I'm just casually drinking throughout the whole thing, to be honest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you've had 10 beers since the podcast started?
Yeah.
I haven't even looked at you drink the beer.
It's been like 50 minutes, dude. It's like two beers. That's like a beer every 5 minutes.
Yeah, just I'm drinking, man.
Dude, we're gonna have to sit down with you.
No, you
I
guys,
thought I was
no,
gonna
you
get
guys,
the
sit down. He's not doing the marathon. He's doing the sprint.
Yeah, well, here's my thing, right? So I was in a fraternity, regrettably, as far as like. You know, living life goes. And I learned how to drink in a fraternity, and I'm fat now, so I just can, like, hold a lot more. But, like, I have this problem where I'll drink until it's gone, and then I'm like, oh, shit, I need another one. So I've literally this entire time I've just been like, okay, drink. Oops, it's gone. I got to get another one. That's why I got to go pee sometimes throughout the podcast.
Dude, if I drink 10 beers right now, I'd be telling you my life story.
Oh, no, I'm chilling.
I learned a little. You see, the trick is to be able to drink that many beers. I learned from skateboarding is to also do cocaine.
The first time I did cocaine was in a bathroom in a bar. We were doing a comedy show in a college town. And I was taking a piss in a bar randomly, and I was just like, oh, God, I'm so drunk, I can't drive. And some guy in the stall's like, dude, do you want a bump, bro? Because, like, that'll help you drive. And I was like, that's genius. I guess I'll do cocaine right now. So I did a bump of coke and then drove us all the way home for an hour. It was fucking stupid, but it worked. It was a good time.
Yeah, he came. It came to the.
I remember my first time doing cocaine.
Do you want to talk about it?
Oh God! What?
Is it frozen? Huh? Wait. Okay, I think I'm back. Hold on, it froze. Hello.
Okay. Hey.
Okay, who was telling the story? I missed it.
You go ahead. Tell your first time doing coke.
Yeah.
My first time doing coke. Okay, so I was like. 14 or 15, I think.
Whoa.
Like my tweet said the other day, I did cocaine before I ever had my first kiss. I was like 14 or 15, and I had like just recently gotten into like scratching. So like, like record scratching and like DJing and mixing and all that shit. And so I was playing a house party, and they had a punch bowl, and it was full of a lot of liquor, way more than I was used to. And so I got really drunk, and it was coming up to my set, and I was like, I can't, no. And so everybody around me thought, oh, okay, the little drunk 14 or 15 year old is too drunk to perform for us. Let's give him cocaine and make him perform. And these are all like, you know, 21, 22, 23 year olds. I'm like, yeah, just here, do a little bit of this. What's that? Oh, don't worry about it. But wow, I played a lot of music. I was like, man, music's really cool, you guys. Does anybody want to talk?
You like turn it, you just turn the record off, and you're like, hey, my name is Jacob. I'm 14 years old, and my favorite cartoon is SpongeBob. And now we're going to go around the room, and everyone's going to tell me something about themselves.
I'm pretty sure.
Now everybody tell me your favorite Pokemon.
I'm pretty sure the first time I did it, we drove all the way home listening to the Weezer's Green album. And every time, like, any song would start, I'd just be like, yo, no, hold on. Okay, this song? And then I'd just, like, spit out stupid shit about it. And we'd be like, yeah, dude.
No, that was... Because, yeah, that was the first time you did it was when we were driving back, right?
Yeah.
And that was when I was on my tip about being like, oh, dude, the Green album is easily the best Weezer album. And you're like, hey, you want to listen to the Green album? And I'm like, yeah, let's listen to... Yeah. We were just talking nonsense about it the whole time.
So dumb. So funny.
Yeah. Just how perfect all the riffs are and how they kept that Weezer sound throughout the record.
Speaking of music, Jacob, what do you like to listen to? Now that you brought up, you know, scratching records and stuff, that's super sweet. But, like, what do you like to listen to?
Oh, man. So... I was really lucky to be raised the way that I was. So I got put onto like 3-6 Mafia, Wu-Tang Clan, Leftover Crack, Andrew Jackson, Jihad. Like a lot of like shit like that, like Southern rap and just really good. Like what I used to deem good rap, but now that I'm older, all rap is good. I used to be fucking so snobby about it. But yeah, lately it's been a lot of Leftover Cracks, some Red Army Choir to get myself in the mood before protests. But yeah, no, a lot of hip hop and punk and punk folk kind of type shit.
Yeah, with the AJJ.
I worked in the music industry for a couple of years. I kind of like went from like skateboarding and shit, because skateboarding has a really close tie, you know, to the music community.
Oh, yeah.
And so I kind of made like this weird transfer over from being really big in the skateboarding industry and doing work over there into working in the music industry, like managing rappers, doing creative direction, photography, videography, and directing music videos and shit like that, which was how I learned my skills of how to work a social media, basically, because rappers, they're good at making music. They're not good at the internet, and I'm good at the internet. So they're like, hey, can you pretend to be me and help get my following up? So yeah, I do that. And I did that for a couple of years, and then I figured, oh, if I can do it for everyone else, let's do it for me.
Nice. Hell yeah.
But yeah, so for me, my heart lies definitely with hip hop and punk. That's mainstay. And metal, of course, you know.
Hell yeah, sweet.
So, is like, what are like some of the punk artists you really enjoy then?
Going off the top of my head, gotta hit one pop punk. So Blink 182 for ska punk, obviously Leftover Crack. Let's check the playlist. Let's see who else I've had in the heavy rotation lately.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because I fucking really, really enjoy punk music.
I've been getting into kind of low-key, like, have you seen this weird bastardization of, like, witch house and punk lately?
I'm not sure what Witch House is.
Like a term.
You don't know what Witch House is?
Witch House?
No.
Witch House is like, think like Crystal Castles.
Okay.
It's like
okay.
A very like palatable Witch House. Cool. But no, there's like this one group that I've been like super heavily into lately. Not lately. I just kind of recently got really back into them because my girlfriend. Ice Peak. They're like rap.
Yeah. I know Ice Peak. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like, they are the fucking epitome of punk. Like, they got fucking arrested by the Russian government because they advocate for LGBTQ rights. Like, dude, they're punk as fuck.
So kind of like Pussy Riot. At least, like, on the Russian issues side. Because, like, Pussy Riot is an all... female Russian band, correctly? Correctly. Correct, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, it's all female.
Yeah. Jamie pulled it up.
Okay, there we go.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Jamie pulled that up.
Yeah, but kind of like Pussy Riot as far as like political stances go, I guess.
Yeah, definitely a lot like Pussy Riot. They do like, so they got arrested because they did a music video that just had like a lot of like drag in it and just a whole bunch of gay people, you know, just being gay. And they were on tour and the Russian government was trying to like track them down while they were on tour, and they eventually did and arrested them. They're like, none of that gay shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, Russia kind of sucks when it comes to being gay and or anything but Russian nationalists, don't they?
Ah, man, it's terrible. Russians have a crazy, amazing aesthetic, at least to me personally, but man, their policies just...
I agree with you. I do think their aesthetic is beautiful. I did ballet for a few years, Russian ballet specifically, and I think they got some good looks over there, but goddamn, their policies and politics are kind of shaky.
Wacky.
Yeah. Man, I wish we had something like the Red Army Choir. Those dudes are badass.
Yeah, right?
You listen to that music, I'm like,
They're called
I want to go.
I was going to say it's Pentatonix.
The Blue Man Group and the Pentatonix.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
And if you don't think that's cool, get the fuck out.
Yeah, get the fuck out of this country if you don't like the Blue Man Group.
Choir. I'm going out. There we go. I'm back.
We've hit an hour anyway.
Yeah, oh, Jacob, how old are you? Just real quick personal question. I'm just curious.
Yeah, to hit some of the personal stuff. So I'm 25. I'll be 26 on Christmas Eve, unfortunately.
Whoa!
I've lived 20 different lives.
Yeah, because you have so many things that you've done that's so interesting and cool. I was just like, if you are under 30, that's incredible that you've skated and fucking done music and comedy and sex work. Like, that's incredible. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just kind of how I've just always gone through life. Because, you know, growing up, I've moved around everywhere, so I was constantly having to make new friends. And so I just kind of naturally just go from, you know, I get into one thing, I lock it down, get really into it, and then, you know, make myself a name doing whatever that is and living that. And then that will kind of snowball into something else, you know, because skateboarding snowballed into filming, which snowballed into photography, which snowballed into working for music artists, which snowballed into working in music, which snowballed into working in comedy and social media, which snowballed into sex work. It's a weird and wild ride, kind of how it all links to it. Linked to each other, like everything that I do kind of all like links.
They're rocks.
Yeah. So you just like let it flow. That's like the way you got to go about life, is just kind of taking things as they come at you.
So I'm yeah, stupid. Yeah,
basically.
But are you a Capricorn then?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm fucking, I am the epitome of a Capricorn, apparently.
I'm a Sagittarius. My birthday is technically 9 days before you, so. Pretty
cool. Oh shit.
Yeah.
My little brother Sam is a Sagittarius.
Oh hell yeah. That rocks. But yeah, thank you for coming on. This is like super sweet. I think this has been such a fun episode, I think. It's been a mixture of an interview and just talking, but yeah.
Thank you so much for letting me come on. It seriously, it has been a killer time, and I would love to be able to do it again and hang out.
Oh, definitely.
Oh yeah, you're always welcome back. Once you're on the pod once, you can always come back for just the pod or even just hanging out. We're not gonna kick you out of the Discord or anything like that. So
I'm gonna collect all of these statements and present them to my girlfriend in my argument as to why I need to put a new microphone in our budget.
Do you have anything that you want to plug before we take off?
Yeah, the number one thing that I want to plug right now would be PCRS.net. So let me make sure it's .net. It's either .net or .org. It's the Palestine Child Relief Fund. So what these people do, they take donations, and they're basically like Doctors Without Borders. So they go in and they help take care of, you know, displaced Palestinian children. They help, you know, put them in homes, or they help get them to somewhere safe, maybe out of country or maybe out of the area that they're in. So it's PC, it's, yeah, it looks like it is PCRF.net, not .org. So if you got a spare dollar, everybody, please send it that way.
Sweet.
We can link that too.
Yeah, if you want to send me the link, or Chris the link or whatever, I'll put that underneath the podcast. That way people who can are listening can just scroll to the stuff and do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna shoot that over to you guys.
Hell yeah.
Cool. And any social links too.
Yeah. For real.
Oh yeah. Obviously, everybody hit up the Jacob at Jacob CC Fisher on Twitter and Instagram, but only one C on TikTok, Jacob C. Fisher. I don't do anything on TikTok other than shit post and, you know, post my outfits. But if you want to see some cock, check out Jacob Fisher XXX.
Hell yeah.
That's the most important one, ladies, okay, and fellas. Make sure you hit the XXX account.
Oh yeah, I don't discriminate. I do customs for everybody. I'll say any name you want.
Hell yeah. That rocks.
And if you want to make me official hot guy, just keep your DMs open, and so I can send you a lot of my penis, and you can make me cool hot guy, big man, tough guy that I want to be.
Don't
let me show you my penis.
Don't respond to him if he sends anything less than 20 pictures. Anything less than 20 pictures, and it's fucking amateur hour, and he doesn't care about you.
God, you're holding me to a high standard. I love it. I love it.
I'm going to hit my plugs really quick. Twitter, KPPQN. Follow me there. Instagram, Woke Lettuce God. Follow me there. Timothy Chalamet, bend it over and buckle up, buckaroo, because we're going for a wild ride to Pound Town when quarantine's over, you saucy bitch.
Chris, what you got, man?
The pussy funds. I want the torso. Give me the torso. It's gonna be so funny when I fuck the Mrs. Brooke torso pussy.
Hell yeah. Anything else?
Oh, my Twitter, yeah, Clay Dallas.
Hell yeah. Follow Clay_PNG. Go to ClayPNG, has a store on Teespring, buy my t-shirts. The link's also in my bio on Twitter. My Instagram's the same. Other than that, join the Patreon at patreon.com/whoappod. Sorry, I've had 10 beers. and then other than that, hit the subscribe button or the follow button on whatever you listen on. And thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Give us a rating on the Apple iTunes store. And other than that, thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Jacob, so much. One more time. You rock. God bless. Yeah. Have a good rest of the night.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Hell yeah. Love you guys. Bye.